The name of my message today is, When Will It All End? When will it all end? Have you ever said that? When's it going to end? Am I the only one? Okay, I bet everybody in here said that at some point in time in their life about something. When will it end? If you got your Bibles, turn to chapter 12 of Daniel real quickly. I'm going to be preaching. I've actually preached part of this message before. And I hopefully, I think the last time I preached something like this, I got a Facebook message that wasn't real nice. So I hopefully, y'all won't send me a Facebook. Matter of fact, you can't because I'm not on Facebook anymore. So you can't send me one. And don't put a note in next week's offering either. I don't want to hear it. Daniel 12:4. For just one scripture. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Father, I pray that you would take this word that you've given me for today. God, you'd cause it to be, Lord, a catalyst, an igniter. God, to spur us to living in these days and times in such a way, Lord, that we live them with excitement and anticipation about what you're doing and that you're doing it through us, the church. I thank you, God, that this is not a time for the church to be silent, but, Lord, this is a time for us to stand up and have a voice and be a light on a hill. In Jesus' name, amen. This verse makes me think of the transportation age. When I read this, says the nail run to and fro. And the knowledge of the explosion of in the last past century. When you look at how much knowledge has exploded in the last century, pretty phenomenal. When you think about it, from the time God created Adam and Eve to this day, it's been about 6,000 years have passed. And for the last 100 of those years, man, before that, last 100 of those 6,000, before that, man walked, sailed, or rode a horse. Think about it. All that except for the last little over 100 years now, man either walked, was in a boat, or rode a horse. The age of the automobile, the 20th century, saw that the coming about of automobiles, planes, jets, and spacecraft. Some of you younger people can't even imagine life without cell phones and instant information. And when you stop and think about how much time has passed and what has transpired in the last 100 years, it's absolutely phenomenal considering that almost 6,000 years, man went all that time, and then we, this last 100 years, everything has drastically changed. Matter of fact, the last 70 years has changed super drastically when you look at how much life has changed. For centuries, Bible scholars interpreted run to and fro as coming, the coming increase of travel and the speed of travel. Matter of fact, prior to, it was before the 17th century that Sir Isaac Newton said, a new mode of travel shall be invented in the last days. Right, this is Sir Isaac Newton said this. It should come about in the last days. Knowledge will be so increased that man will be able to travel at a rate of, and he went out on a limb to say 50 miles an hour. Okay? Sir Isaac Newton said this before automobiles or anything were ever invented. But he said there's going to come a time in the end. He did have enough foresight and spiritual understanding to know that in the time of the end, things were going to change. That travel was going to change. Because the most before that, before automobiles, the most anybody could ever travel was about 26 to 27 miles, maybe 28, if they pressed it in a day. No matter whether they were on a horse, walked, or ship. Okay? That's about how much they... You know what? You can go halfway around the world in 12 hours. 14 hours. I know I went to Sri Lanka, and the whole trip was about 40-something hours, but when you take out all the layovers and all the going through airports and customs and all that, when you take that out, just the actual travel time, and by the way, Sri Lanka, they say that when you leave where I was at, you get to Sri Lanka, if you go any further, you're going back home. In other words, it was exactly the halfway around the world, and then if I went any further, I was going back home again. Okay? So when we look, and by the way, Sir Isaac Newton was highly criticized for that statement about traveling 50 miles an hour. We all laugh, but he went out on a limb. We look that the global communication today has man traveling at the speed of light. Think about that. Information that's happening all the way around the world. So the information is having man travel at the speed of light. When we look at the information age, how it's placed everything at just a click away, what it used to take years of research is now available in seconds. What used to take years of research now take a split second. And that's virtually everyone, not just certain people, not special people. As a popular search engine talks on its commercial, nobody wants to look dumb. Right? Nobody wants to look dumb, so we're all trying to look smart. Oops. I didn't just say that, did I? Okay. 1948, Israel was established as a nation. And when we look that the Jews, dispersed Jews, have been returning to Israel by the hundreds of thousands, just as the Bible said they would in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 3, I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. You can also see Ezekiel chapter 37. When we realize what was happening when he said that, how many of you know that Israel was disbanded as a nation? Okay, twice actually, not just once. They were disbanded as a nation, scattered out, and then God said, I'm going to bring them back. He did. He brought them from all the nations. 1948, that became a reality. That's not even as big deal that I'm talking about it so much anymore. Some of the things I want to share with you today, you say, well, you're trying to tell us it's doom and gloom. I'm trying to tell us we need to get about the Father's business, is what I'm telling you. We need to wake up. I'm sorry for it's so hot. I tried to tell God to bring the temperature down, but he didn't. He said, it's Texas. Get used to it. When we look at what I'm about to say today, I want you to understand that Israel was the fig tree mentioned in the Bible. And it has become the hub, the center of attention for the whole world. Y'all do realize that, right? That you can't turn on news, whether it be the BBC, United States, NBC, it doesn't make any difference. What news organization you turn on anywhere in the world, at some point in time in that newscast, Israel is going to be mentioned. Okay? Why? Because they're the center focus of the world. There's a reason why they're the center focus of the world, because God wanted them to be. God's bringing about this to a place where we start to understand. We look at the Bible. It also said that this generation, by talking about the fig tree, this generation shall not pass before these things come to pass. Well, some say that's 40 years. Some say it's been 60. But my question is, how much longer can these who are alive when that happened continue to live without their generation? No matter whether you want to put 40 years, 60 years, whatever. When Israel became a nation, that became a cornerstone. That became an issue when it comes to biblically speaking, that when Israel becomes a nation again, you need to realize everything just changed in history. Everything. Everything changed for the church. The clock started ticking, not just when Jesus died, but there's another clock that started ticking. When Israel became a nation, clock started ticking, and everything changed. Not something we have to worry about. We don't need, young people, don't be afraid. Realize and know that This is not real life, by the way. This is what? Pre-life. We're living this life to get to the next one. All right? So know that when we look at all this, and by the way, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I am saying we need to wake up and pay attention. Some of the things I'm going to share with you are actually going to frighten you. You're going to realize, have we come that far? Oh, yes. We've been sleeping. We've been just like the days of Noah. They were eating, drinking, giving in marriage, having parties, going about life as normal and usual. Well, all the time, things were changing right in front of them, and they didn't know it. Okay? That's what's been happening to us. When we look at data mining, I have a niece that's what she does for a living. She data mines. She works for a huge company that they data mine. Do you know they know more about me and you than me and you know about me and you? And I'm not kidding. Do you know they could probably almost predict what restaurant you're going to go to next? That's how much information they have about you. They know what TV shows you like to watch. They know what clothes brands you like to buy. They know whether you like to go to what movies. They know what books you like to read. They know whether you're likely to travel to. They know everything there is to know about you. And we're not talking about cookies on the internet. By the way, for y'all that may wonder if somebody's tracking you, a cookie only got about 90 days worth of shelf life. Okay? They realize if you're, every time you click on a site, guess what? They just picked you up. Now they're going to monitor you. They're going to figure it out. And then they're going to start throwing commercials on your phone or your computer based upon where you went and clicked. Okay? And they'll know about 90 days, you've already made a decision and moved on, so that you're not going to throw those particular commercials at you anymore. They'll throw something different at you. So a cookie's got about 90-day shelf life. Okay? This is not hearsay. This is for people that actually do it for a living. And they know everything there is to know about you. They know who your friends are. They know who your friends aren't. They know what religion you like. They know what kind of religious books you like to read. They know everything there is to know about you. They know your health. They know everything. You think, oh, pastor. And know this, in the last days, they shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. It's not just knowledge in the world. It's knowledge about us. Think about it. We're in that day. Now, have I got your attention yet? Do you know there's over... Let me just read you something. I'll read this to you. You know there's over 2,000 elements or fields of information about somebody, what they like, what they don't like. 2,000 particular fields on each person. They're called elements, but they're fields. And by the way, let me just say, throw something at that. Do you know there's 60 different ways to identify a human being now? So what are you talking about? Well, it used to just be male and female. Now there's 60 different ways we identify a human being. Isn't that crazy? Used to just be a male or female, right? Well, I was watching a thing where this guy in Germany was introduced, and he was supposed to say hi to everybody. And the president of whatever this organization was behind him, he starts out and he says he wants to welcome all the males and the females. He wants the transgenders and the lesbian and the homosexual and the inner man and the inner woman, the inner child. And he just started going down this list saying hi to all these different people. And finally the guy behind him says, hold up. He said, no, I'm not done yet. I don't know whether he was making a point or what he was doing, but it was ridiculous. 60 different ways to identify a human being. Isn't that crazy? And we wonder why we're in such a mess in the world. Let me just tell you why we're in such a mess. Because it had to get this way. It's been this way before. Right before Jesus came, it was real bad. Okay? Guess what? He's coming again. And he's going to come get us out of this. But until he comes and gets us, guess what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be doing what Jesus and the disciples were doing. We're supposed to go out and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. We're so afraid somebody's going to be mad. Right? We're afraid somebody's not going to like what we got to say. Let me just say something. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it offends. Just know that people are going to get offended when you tell them about Jesus. Who cares? I mean, let's be honest. Before you turned your life over to Jesus, you didn't care what people thought about you. I've been spit on. I've been hit. I've been peed on. I've been all kinds of things trying to witness to people. When you get in certain places in the world and people are drunk, they'll do all kinds of weird stuff. Hit, but you know what? It didn't stop me. Matter of fact, it fired me up. If you think that's going to stop me, I'm going to tell 10 more people just because you did that. So what drives you? Are you afraid that people are going to... My niece, she works in this company. She's a Pentecostal girl and very much unashamed of who she is. And she told me when I was talking, she said, they are constantly, the people that are around me, people I've been working with for 17, 18 years. She said, I've watched them, how the world has changed them. How they're now, we used to be good friends, and now they're waiting to pounce upon me, anything that I say out of my mouth when it's got to do with God. Right? Do you know that there was a, you don't care if I just kind of ramble a minute, do you? You know, there was an Air Force colonel, I think, had a Bible on his desk. And do you know he got in trouble for it? Having a Bible on his desk. Do you know there was a guy that went around, he was invited, y'all probably saw it on the news, he was also the Air Force, he was invited to do he said a thing about the flag folding ceremony. And so this guy was retiring from the military, and he asked this guy to come and do his thing about the flag folding ceremony. And one of the officers got a word of it and positioned people in this ceremony that when he got up to say what he was going to say, to make him stop and get him out of there. You know why? Because in the process of folding the flag, God is mentioned. And the blood and the different things based upon the stripes and the stars and all the things. So he's saying this about the flag folding ceremony and about how it's got something to do with who we are as a nation, they took him out. See, the thing is that Jesus said that as the days grow nearer, that they'll persecute you, they'll drag you before magistrates. We don't think that's a big deal because we've always lived in America, but see, you got to understand something. It's not just getting bad over there, it's getting bad here. Okay? The world is getting to be a place of turmoil. Young people, you say, Pastor, I don't want you to tell me this. I'm a young person. Well, you know what? You should get excited about. You get to live in a world and an opportunity that you can make a difference that nobody else can make. That you can make a difference when everybody else is keeping their mouth shut. See, for me, let's be honest. How many of y'all like doing some kind of things that are just a little bit rebellious? Don't act like you don't. So just think about it. We're living in a world that it's going to be rebellious to tell people about Jesus. We ought to fit right in. Right? It ought not be something that we have to, we could just say, you know what? I'm going to fulfill my destiny. I'm going to continue to be a little bit rebellious. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to be excited about telling people about Jesus. So, in Revelations it says this. Now when they finished their chapter 11, verse 7, when they had finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower and kill them. Talking about two witnesses. Y'all know, y'all read the story, right? The two witnesses are going to come during the tribulation period. They're going to be from God. I believe them to be Enoch and Elijah because Enoch and Elijah never died. Okay? It says, their bodies will lie in the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. For 3 days and three and a half days, men of every tongue, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse to give them burial. Every nation, every person, every tongue in the whole earth will look at them and refuse to give them burial. You know what that just tells us? That everybody will be able to see it at the same time. How many of y'all got one of those? Okay? I know y'all like them, but when you're my age, sometimes you wish you didn't have it. Okay? that's got so much stuff on there, I don't even know what to do with it all. All right? I'll call Zach and say, hey, fix it. It does something, I don't know what it's doing. But you know what? I can pull up news, Google. Now, also, how many of you ever used Google Earth? You pull up and you look at, matter of fact, I could pull up and look at this church, and chances are your car's parked out there. Not today, but on the day the picture was taken. You have to understand something. Technology is so great. They literally, nowadays, if you were sitting in your backyard reading a newspaper, they literally could read that newspaper with you. Okay, that's not a joke. That's not something that's going to come one day. It's here. Okay? If they can look that many billions and billions and billions and billions of miles out into space and see something, they can read your newspaper. Okay? You say, what's all this about, Pastor? It's about the fact that they'll run to and fro. Me and Sherry are going on, we're going on vacation at the end of this month, so we're going to get on a plane and go. In November, we're going to Haiti. We're going to get on a plane and go, and it's commonplace now. Okay? When I was growing up, it was a big deal if you'd ever flown on a plane. Most people, when I was growing up, only military people usually got on a plane. Okay? Because nobody else, unless you're rich, could afford it. Right? That's just the way it was. Nowadays, everybody travels because it's cheaper. I can get on a plane and fly there cheaper than I can drive there. 9 times out of 10. That's for, back when I was young, gas was 26, 27, 8, 29 cents a gallon. So it was a lot cheaper back then. So it was more expensive to fly a plane. But my point being is, when did all this happen? How did it happen and we not realize it was happening? When we look, said that that's going to happen. How many know that Revelation says that there's a mark of the beast coming? And nobody will buy nor sell unless they have the mark. Ever read that, heard that, saw that? Anybody not ever heard it, saw it, or read it? It better be a question asked. We're going to a cashless society one day based upon Scripture. Right? Y'all do know that, right? Are you sure you know that? If that's the truth, then we're awful close to that day happening. Do you know that America is 80% cashless? In other words, most all transactions, 80% of all transactions done in America, we're talking about small amounts, not large. Almost all large amounts are done without cash. But almost 80% are done without cash. Okay? 80%. Matter of fact, I was doing a bunch of reading and studying. Everybody wants to get rid of cash. It's nasty, it stinks, it's a lot of trouble. We got a big push all over the world to get rid of cash. No more money. No more money. All will be done plastic. Australia is almost completely cashless. Belgium is 93% cashless. And the ones that are still using cash, most, the other 20% in America have less than $50 in their pocket. Okay? So we're going to a world that's completely, matter of fact, the Arab nations, China is moving. I just read an article where they said that they're about to move to a cashless society. You know why, right? Well, besides all the natural stuff, because God said so. Okay? that's the main reason. Most people think cashless society is something that is way off in the distant future. Unfortunately, that's simply not the case. I'm not writing this. I'm reading this that somebody else wrote. The truth is that cashless society is much closer than most people would ever even dare to imagine. To a large degree, the transaction of a cashless society is being done voluntarily. It's been happening in our lives, and we didn't even know it. They've been slowly. We've been slowly. Let's be honest. I went to Tractor Supply the other day, and I think it was Tractor Supply. Oh, I forget where I was at. And I actually paid with cash, and she's like, "You're going to pay with that with cash?" I'm like, "Yeah. I don't want it on my credit card." Wow, I don't ever pay cash anymore. I said, you never use cash? She said, never, ever. I use my card for everything. If I go get a Coke at McDonald's, I use my card. And you know what? To be honest, how many of you in here, 90% of all your transactions are done with some kind of card, whether it be debit card or credit card or, okay? You realize they're trying to get rid of cash. Why? Because then they'll know even more about you. You know, we just got audited at our work by the unemployment people. And you know what they told us? If you write a check, period, they're an employee, period. No matter if they work for you 30 minutes, half hour, you know, contract labor type thing. If you write a check, you know what they're saying is, if we can track it, that's what they were saying. So my point in all this today is, where are we here spiritually? What's going on in our daily lives that we realize that time really is short? When I say short, I'm not talking about 5 minutes, 5 days, 50 years. I'm just telling you we're coming to a place where it's happening faster than we think. And how many of you know Jesus is coming back, okay? I want you to raise your hand. If you really believe Jesus is coming back, raise your hand. Okay. So, by act of everybody's own admission that Jesus is coming back, okay? We can't be like the ostrich. We can't keep thinking, yeah, but that's what my daddy said, his daddy said, and his daddy before him said, okay? At some point in time, he still has to come back. Whether you like it or not, even though he didn't come in all those generations before, at some point in time, he is coming back. Because you even said it by your own admission, that he's coming back. So if he really is coming back, doesn't it make sense that everybody be kind of lulled to sleep thinking, well, I thought it was going to happen, cashless society and all that's going to happen. Bam, we're all going to see it. Oh no, we're going to be lulled to sleep. It's all going to be happening in such a slow and inconspicuous way that we'll all be doing part of it, not even realize we're doing it. Next thing you know, there it is. There we are. We're almost there. When I started reading these statistics of how many people and how many countries are already almost cashless, it was like mind-boggling. When I started realizing how many pieces of information, by the way, don't raise your hand. If you own a gun, they all know it. They know whether it's registered. They know whether it's not. If you wrote a check for it, even if you didn't register it, they know you got it. Okay? And by the way, they are people that data mine. Do you know that the company that my niece works for, after 9/11, the government called them and asked them, do y'all have information on these people? And they said, yeah. That's why you give them to us, because you didn't ask. They already knew about those people that had done all that. And you know why? Because the company she works for is not in the government. It's trying to sell you something. They're just a company that's gathering information so they know how to manipulate you into buying things. Hello? Know how to put the right stuff. How many of you, let me ask on it. How many of you ever been on the internet doing something and an ad come up and you're like, I like that. You think that was an accident? And when she told me, we can actually probably predict what restaurant you'll go to next. Because it's all got to do with algorithm. All got to do with predictions of what you do on a consistent basis in your life. And we mind all that. We put it together and numbers don't lie. I didn't know that much about my stuff, my own self. I didn't even know what I might go eat next. I'm not that predictable, I would think. But guess what? They say I am. Even though my wife says I'm unpredictable. So my point in all of this today is not so that there's another end times message. It is end times. Ever since Jesus came, it's been end times. But what are we doing with it? What if he came today? Are you ready? I mean, better yet, what about all those people that are family and friends of yours that you know are not ready? You know they don't know Jesus. Well, I can't make them, Pastor. I understand. Got some in my family too. That doesn't mean we stop trying, do it? By the way, just so you'll understand some of these articles, the Bloomberg, bring on the cashless society. China buyers go virtually cashless, the Star. Norway's biggest bank calls for country to stop using cash, International Business Time. These are all articles you can go read. Cashless future underway as Canada consumers have more credit, debit, and app options than ever, CBC. In Sweden, a cashless free future nears, New York Times. Germany poses new cash ban and capital controls as Europe rushes towards NIRP, the Examiner. With the new Western world and China in danger of going into deflation, major banks have already started to charge negative interest rates. Denmark Central Bank was a pioneer when the first cut in its deposit rates below zero in 2012. Goes on to say that's Financial Times. In other words, the reason why they want to stop this is because they want to stop some of the stuff that's happening. And if they take away cash and it's all done electronic, by the way, y'all know that with electronic, there's about twice as much money in the world as there really is. Maybe probably even more than that. So if we got $450 trillion, okay, I'll get that word up there where we can see it, $1 trillion, in reality, truth is, we've probably got about a million trillion when it comes to electronic. Why? Because now we start transferring and moving stuff around, we don't have to have as much money. So banks and financial people, they get double what they actually have. Now they start loaning money they don't have, because guess what? If you didn't already know that was happening, it's been happening for a long, 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 long time. Point is, it's just going to push us to get rid of all this cash. And why? Because this is the reason why. Matthew 24:6. But no one knows that day or that hour, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. We will not recognize when it happens. We got to know that the hour is at hand, though. We have to know. You say, well, Pastor, why are you saying all this? Well, you know why we started this church? To make a difference in the world. You know why we started the mansion? To make a difference. You know why you got saved? To make a difference. You may have started out to make a difference in your own life, but it was to make a difference. You may be one of those sitting here going, I don't believe anything you're saying. It's okay. Keep your head stuck in the sand. Because we're living in that hour where this could be a reality. I didn't say it's going to happen today. It could be a reality. What about, just what if I went to school this next year and you decided it's time? You know, you can't be a child forever, right? Right? Got to grow up at some time. Whether you like it or not, I didn't like it either. I fought it as long as I could. My wife says I'm still fighting it, but what if, just think about it, what if you're one of those kids that God decided to use so supernaturally and so powerfully? Think about that one for a moment. And he decided to use you because you said, here am I. By the way, you're what, 15, 16? Do you know how old David was? 17 years old when he slew the giant. 17 when he slew the giant. Joseph was 17 when he was taken to Egypt and wound up ruling Egypt. So we think that age has to be a hindrance. I think it absolutely can be a positive. For those that are not young, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with the last of your days? You going to continue to use them the way you've been using them? that I don't want to go out of this. If Jesus comes to get me, I don't want to go out of this and going, oh, I see you got by the skin of your teeth. Not me. I'd rather God get on me because I'm trying to do too much. Amen. Then look at me and say, you lazy? Are you spiritually lazy today? Ooh. I didn't say that, did I? Do you have opportunity to speak to somebody? Let me say it that way. Do you have opportunity in your life on a daily basis to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody? Because it could make a huge difference in their life, in their family. I'm convinced that's what... How many have heard the story of Eddie that I've told? Quite a few of you here. I'm convinced that God had me travel those roads to go see Eddie because he wanted to make a difference. What would God have you do? I'm closing with this one. Verse 10 of chapter 33 of Psalms. 33:10. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. You know what he's telling us? The world doesn't have the answers. Never have, never will. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation. Blessed is the nation. Not just individual. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. The people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven and he sees all the sons of men. If you think God's not looking down upon us, see, we've told him as, by the way, I'm going for just a second, the next vote you make in this country needs to be a vote that says, I'm voting for whoever decides to put God at any form, fashion, back into place. That's who I'm voting for. You say, well, there's not either one of those any good. It doesn't make any difference. You're going to vote for the one that you feel like is going to put God back into any form or fashion back into our nation. That's the one you're going to have to vote for. Why? Because it said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the world. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. He considers the votes they make. He considers the people they tell. He considers the people they help. No king is saved by the multitudes of an army. A mighty man is not delivered from his great strength. A horse is vain hope for safety. In other words, if you're not looking to God today, if somebody you love is not looking to God today, if they're looking for science, if they're looking to the government, if they're looking at any other direction for their help, guess what? It's futile. Today, I want to close with this. I want a sense of urgency to be in your heart. I don't want you to keep your mouth closed. I want you to stand up in this hour and make a difference. Stand to your feet for me. Today, in closing, would you, could you say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Lord, I don't want to go through this life with my eyes closed and my head stuck in the sand. I want to realize the hour and the urgency that we're living in. And I want to make a difference. I want to tell somebody about the love of Jesus. And you walk in, run into people every day that need you to look at them and say, you know what? You look troubled. Can I pray with you? Can I tell you about somebody that can make all the difference in your world? Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's not me. I'm just not that bold. And you need God to impart boldness in your life. If you're here today and you feel like that you're just not capable of doing some of the things that I've said and you need God to move in your life, I want you to raise your hand. just feel like your personality, you're just not capable of doing that. Thank you, Lord. Now, let me say it another way. How many of you feel like that you need God to impart boldness in you for this hour? Maybe that's a better way of saying it. Thank you, Lord. Right. If that's you, I want you to just step out and come down. I'm going to pray for everybody. I want something to happen in our community. I want something to happen in our church. I want something to happen in your family. You say, why do I got to walk down there? Because I believe you have to put feet to your faith. See, I believe that no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, what you can't allow to happen is the same old spirit continue to rule in your life. Because if you're not careful, the same thing will jump on you tomorrow, and you'll do the same thing tomorrow you did today. But see, or you can choose to say, you know what, Lord, I believe that you've got an appointment for me today, and it's not a doctor appointment. You got an appointment for me to make a difference in somebody's life. And by doing that, God, you're going to make a difference in my life. You're going to change me. You're going to excite me. You're going to ignite me. And because when you do that, then all of your life's going to make a difference. Amen? Just put your hands in whatever's comfortable for you for receiving. Thank you, Lord. If you're not up here, I want you praying for those that are. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe, Lord, that everybody that's up here believes that, Lord, we are at a place, a tipping point, a crucial moment, not just in our world, but, God, in our own personal lives. God, that we need you to do something. We need you to impart something. We need you, Lord God, to pour out upon us today in a powerful way. So, Lord, as I set this prayer up, Lord. God, that you'd prepare our hearts right now. Lord, to be a sponge and to soak up what you're pouring, the anointing you're pouring upon us. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray it with me. Just repeat these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm desperate to be somebody. Maybe I'm not. I want to be somebody that you've created me to be. And I know, Lord, that in you there is boldness, there's excitement, there's fullness. And I receive it in Jesus' name by an act of faith that, Lord, right now you are imparting into me the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of John the Baptist. God, that spirit of evangelism that's so desperately needed in the world, I receive it. Satan, I renounce you and your ability to get me off track in Jesus' name. I receive the spirit of boldness from God, not the spirit of intimidation from the enemy. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to cause divine appointments to be in my life starting right now. And Lord, I'll put feet to my faith. I will be a voice in the wilderness, a voice that says, follow me as I follow Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all give the Lord a hand clap. Now, before you go anywhere, let me just say this. You will have opportunity. But the devil's going to tell you, this is not one God meant for you to say anything. Okay? Or you're going to say, you ain't bold enough. You don't have to have the words. He'll tell you the words. All you got to do is be willing to be used. I can't tell you how many times that I've opened the door just by saying, are you okay? You all right? Can I pray for you? Do you know Jesus, Lord, in your life? Usually that's not the way I start out, by asking somebody, do you know Jesus as your Lord in your life? You know why? Because I don't want the door shut immediately. I usually start trying to tell somebody, can I care about you for a minute? Can I care about what you're going through? Can I just be there for you for just a moment? And then usually when that happens, guess what happens? That door comes wide open, and they say, I want you, God. Then you can pray for me. Can you tell you how many times that I've watched God move supernaturally? Let me just say this. There was fireworks in a firecracker stand one night because I was willing to look at somebody and say, hey, can I be there for you a moment? And they got saved in a firecracker stand selling firecrackers. There's always fireworks when God comes into your life. Do you know that? You need to walk out of here and be conscious of the things that are going to happen. Could be in prison. Could be in the mansion. Could be at your job. You say, I work out, but I don't much of them. Muddy, nasty. Yeah. They need them too. Could be going to a doctor. Get a checkup. Could be going around young people. So desperately. But if you're no different than, listen to me, if you're no different than everybody else, then what are they going to say to you? Why do I need what you got? Your issues are the same as my issues. Yeah, but the difference is I'm putting my issues under his lordship. Can I get an amen? All right. Well, anybody else feel like you got a word from God? Anybody here? You got one? Just a little one? He's a preacher, y'all. That's a good thing. It's the slowest mic in the world.
I'm really interested in numbers, but you know, the Bible talks about the days will be numbered and all that. What I like to think about sometimes is, like, how many days have you been on earth? And it's easy, you can look it up very specific, but like, 25-year-old has been on earth about 9,000 days, a 50-year-old 18,000 days, a 75-year-old 27,000 days. That's a lot. Those numbers are big in our mind, but what are you going to do with that 9,001 day, 10,037th day, you know, that God gave you another day to be here on the earth? You know, it means something. You know, you're here for, it seems like a short period of time, but when you can stretch it out, 27,000 days, let's do something different with one.
Amen.
Just one.
That's good stuff. Amen. Amen. Anybody else quickly? I feel like you got a word from the Lord. No?
I got a vision.
You got a vision.
Okay, God just told me to tell you that whatever you're doing in your life, that it doesn't matter what people think, it only matters what he thinks of you. Amen. So
saw a vision when Greg was preaching at the end, and you and the little girl sitting with the red hair, I saw God. I could see his gown and his sandals, and he walked by and he went like this, and he came over to me, and I could just feel his presence, and I could feel on my head. And so he had me praying, and so I felt like he was giving, I heard he's giving you and you and me. I prayed for extra knowledge because of the beginning of the message, the scroll, because I saw something where someone received the scroll of, because I watch a lot of stuff on the internet, like, and so someone, the Lord had given them the scroll, he just received it. And so I thought, wow, I should pray to have that. Because that person received it, and they weren't asking for it. The Lord gave it to them. So when I prayed it, and then I saw him walking down the aisle, and he touched you and came, and I actually felt the presence on my head and heard that. So I was saying,
amen. Amen. Anointing. How many of you know the anointing breaks together? All right. Well, let's pray, and I'm going to release everybody. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And God, we know that these kind of messages, Lord, are not, they're not about just feeling good. God, they're about direction. They're about taking every opportunity to seize the moments that we have, even as Colin said, Lord, another day. So God, I just pray that we as the body of Christ, as we walk out of here today, Lord, I pray healing over those that need healing, Lord. I believe, Lord, that healing is an awesome testimony of your powerful hand. So God, I just pray soundness of mind, healing to the bodies. Lord, I speak healing to emotions and hurts and wounds. I just pray, God, that you just come now and just pour out your spirit, Lord, as only you can. Lord, men, relationships, we just ask, God, that you'd just touch and heal relationships that seem to be broken beyond repair. I just pray, God, that you'd heal those right now in Jesus' name. And God, I pray for those that are here in this room that are not necessarily even up front. God, that we'd get to priorities, the number one thing back right in our life. And we'd stop believing the lie of the enemy and realize and know, Lord God, that there is a plan and a destiny for all of our lives. And the lies of the enemy are not it. But the truth that comes from above comes from you, Lord, and it is it. It is the truth. So I'm asking God today, just let everybody walk out of here today, Lord, with a renewed sense of excitement about what you're doing in their lives and in our church and in our community and in our nation. God, we refuse to agree with the media. We agree with your word. And when God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And we receive that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. I encourage you, take that opportunity today to take this word and go make a difference in somebody's life. Amen.